Hello, and welcome back to the Ever-Changing World podcast. I'm your host, Ava Zanetti, and today's podcast episode is inspired by current events, of course referencing the amazing title of the very show you're listening to, Ever-Changing World. The world is always changing, and activism and groups are also always changing. I think our world is always very divided. We have borders that physically divide us to social constructs that divide us. And this thing that I'll be talking about today, which for reference is abortion, is considered a social construct in some capacity, but in a lot of ways, it really is just a heated argument that I see all around me. So, you know, the thing is that it's a big topic, a heated topic, and I want to break it down. I want to give a consensus. I want to put it in layman's terms as best as I can, and I also want to give this argument all sides of the story, and maybe why one side is more right than the other side. I'm sure lots of you have heard about this case. It's called Roe versus Wade, which is what's in the title, which I believe is what's in the title. So I'll be talking about the current court case, as well as kind of the brief history of abortion and abortion protests in general. I mean, really, the main thing is, and the main thing that you have to realize with all of this, is that this topic is really always heated. It always has been heated. And if you want to call it the left, and if you want to call it the right, both of these sides, no matter what direction they're facing, are arguing a lot about this topic. So, I mean, truly, I just think it's a topic that needs to be discussed, broken down, very topical as well. So I thought, you know what? Why not? It's a great time to talk about this, and I am ready to give my opinion, as I do on every single topic, I feel like, on this podcast. We have almost hit, as well, as a little bit of a time point, I guess. We've almost hit 5 months of the podcast. It'll be 5 months of next week, which is pretty insane. So I just want to say, obviously, thank you to everybody who's been listening and everybody who's been engaging. It's honestly been so much fun, and I enjoy just having a platform where I can talk about kind of anything and everything that I like to talk about. So, you know, it's a really great time. As a little bit of an introduction again, I don't know if my voice sounds a little bit off. It might. My nose is still stuffy, of course. I was sick a few weeks ago. I had the flu, and then it stuck around for some reason. I'm okay. I don't have COVID or anything, but it has stuck around. So if my voice is a little bit off, or if my nose sounds a little bit stuffy, if I sound congested, it is for that reason. So I would just advise you on that, and hopefully it won't be too much of a bother while I talk about all of these topics that I will be discussing today. As well, I love to do a little bit of a book session here before I begin as an introduction. I have a lot of books sitting around me, but honestly, I've read little, but I have finished the book I was reading for school. It's called A Lesson Before Dying, doing an African-American study unit. It was honestly a really good book. I highly recommend it. It is a lot of speaking, and it is pretty slow-paced, so if you kind of don't like that, maybe don't read it. But it is a fairly short book, so honestly, I wouldn't be too, worried if it, you know, felt really, really long or anything. It's, a pretty short one, so if you want a quick read, it's a really good book. It has a lot of, obviously, different meaning, and it is called The Lesson Before Dying, so it is pretty impactful, and it gets pretty emotional at the end there. And the whole thing with the book, too, is I can't really even spoil it, because the whole thing is we know an African-American man was wrongfully accused of murdering three people, and he's going on death row. So that's the whole storyline of it. It's also back in the day. It's placed, you know, in the, like, mid-90s, so it's, you know, also in that time period where things were a little bit worse than it is now, so, it really is just a great read. I highly recommend, and, go check it out if you have not. It's called A Lesson Before Dying. As well, another little pointer at the top of the show. I've been discussing Elon Musk a lot, and I feel like he's just been a reoccurring topic on the podcast for many reasons. I mean, one of the reasons mainly being because, you know, I'm a huge fan of him and all of this. But he has bought Twitter, as I have mentioned, I believe last week. He's really been discussing what he wants to do with Twitter and all of these things. And there was a comment I saw today, and I thought I wanted to bring it up. He commented on a post, and it was something like, someone commented on some post on here, and they said, you know, you could have created a better platform for, you know, less than $1 billion, whatever. And he said, that he didn't understand why you bought Twitter, but don't like how they're buying Tesla stock. So Elon Musk, if you don't know, a lot of his money is tied up in Tesla stock as well as SpaceX assets and all that, but it's mainly Tesla stock. This guy, he didn't like how he's buying Tesla stock because he said in years past that he was going to use it to fund a trip to Mars, which obviously he spent $44 billion on this on Twitter. So, or he will be, I don't know if it's full $44 billion. I have been seeing that other people are kind of partnering with him, loaning out the money, which is really interesting because obviously it's enough money to just loan it out, but I don't think he wants to take out all of his assets on this. So it is really interesting what he's doing here. And then Elon says something really interesting, and he said, you know, he, quote, "you might be right." That was pretty interesting, and you know, maybe he's reconsidering what he's doing, but I do think he'll go through with Twitter. Might not be the best business decision, but he really just wants to do it. It's not even really for that reason. The other big thing going on here with Twitter and Elon is that he is allowing Donald Trump back onto the site. He has said it. I don't know where the tweet was, but I did see it on a CNBC post, so obviously it's safe. If you don't know anything about this, which you probably do, but back in 2021, very beginning, there was the Capitol Hill riot, and it was kind of directed by Trump. You could argue yes or no, but it was directed by Trump, and Donald Trump, who was the president at the time, or he was leaving office at the time, and there was a riot, whatever, they thought the votes were stolen, etc., old news. But basically, he was banned off of Twitter, so he couldn't go on Twitter again, and that was pretty big news, and he was banned off every social media platform. Twitter was, like, his baby. He had, like, 80 million followers, too. It was quite insane. So he ended up going onto Twitter, leaving Twitter. He created a social media platform, which was recently called Truth Social. Truthfully, nobody has even used it. It's like a Twitter mock. I want to look at the App Store, actually, and see if it's, like, even remotely there. I don't think it is, though. But Truth Social was pretty... Too soft. I don't even think it's a real thing anymore. Truth. Trump. No. There is no... Okay, well, it's not on my App Store, at least. But it kind of became a bomb. No one used it. It was kind of trashed kind of thing. So Trump at one point recently, he said he wouldn't join back Twitter, but I think we all know he will. So that's going to be a really interesting development that I kind of wanted to mention here at the top of the show, just because I've been covering this whole Twitter, you know, mess, I guess, if you want to call it that. And it's been really interesting. So, yeah, I think that's about all I want to talk about at the top of the show. Elon has been, obviously, doing lots, and that's probably the person I talk about the most. So, that's what's been going on with him. If you want to, I'm going to shout out some past episodes. Oh my gosh, this was so long ago now. But if you want to, on the 16th episode that I posted, I talked about the whole Elon Twitter. My voice was really raspy then, so it might be hard to listen to, but I recommend it. And then NFT scams, I talked about probably for 20 minutes over just Elon. So again, I probably will recommend that. The last week's episode was really good too. TikTok epidemic and social media use. It's all about social media. Super interesting stuff. Okay, now to Roe versus Wade. We are starting the show officially. So I first kind of want to talk about the abortion kind of history. I have ones in Canada. I want to look at abortion rights movement in general. This is from Wikipedia, so again, just be careful. But I think this is good to kind of preset it with some interesting things. I'm probably going to stay within America because this is obviously happening there right now. So the Roe versus Wade thing is all America. I live in Canada, but I am American, so it is kind of like a thing that could technically affect me, but like not right now, obviously. So it's a really big deal. There's a lot of people that live in America. So that's where I want to begin. So the whole abortion rights movement is a pro-choice, pro-life debate. I'm going to explain what these terms mean. So pro-life is mainly people on the right, or like conservatives and Republicans, mainly, but not to say all, I'm just saying where it's leaning. It's a little bit more right-leaning. Or at least, maybe I should rephrase it this way. It's more Christian, religious leaning. So what this pro-life is it's no abortion type of thing. I know there's some people that say, like, within the movement that, like, if it's a medical emergency, you can. I don't know. There's a few different rules within it. But pro-life basically is against abortion. Or pro-choice is pro-abortion. And not just, it's not really pro-abortion. Maybe I should rephrase it. Pro your body, your choice. That's the whole phrasing that the activists and the people within the movement have been using. So personally, like, I don't really care if you get an abortion or not. So I'm technically pro-life. And, you know, the whole thing is like, you don't have to be, no, sorry, not pro-life. Oh my gosh. I'm technically pro-choice. The whole thing with it is that you don't have to be pro, you know, pro-choice to, you know, well, I don't know what I was about to say. You don't have to be pro-abortion to be pro-choice. You can be anti-abortion and be pro-choice. The whole thing is letting people do what they want with their bodies. That's kind of the whole consentive there. So it's really, really interesting. Those are kind of the two sides. And they are really, really big opposing sides. They're really strong and they get really heated fairly quickly. So it becomes a big deal, but you know, that's kind of what we're going with, and those are the two opposing sides that kind of, you know, become a big deal and all of that. So moving on from that particular little description. The abortion rights movement is really kind of pro-choice. So it's advocating for legal access to induced abortion services, including elective. So elective is that if you want to get it, you can get it. So what an abortion is, I don't know if I'll probably just briefly explain what abortion is. It's a certain period of time, I believe it's 3 or 4 months. I think it's 3 months, actually, you can get an abortion up to, where you can terminate the baby. So women, if they find out they're pregnant, they can terminate the baby. It's kind of like a, maybe not a plan B if you want to call it, but if it's, you know, it just depends on their circumstances. Again, people have different reasons for having abortions, and it's usually not something people want to do. People usually don't want to abort the baby, but usually it's a decision they have to make. That's usually the thing I want to mention with this. So that's kind of it. A lot of this, you know, pro-choice, pro-life, right? Okay, so, where does abortion even start? And I think that's very interesting. So, abortion practices date back all the way to 1550 BCE, which, you know, was kind of based on the findings of recorded on documents. So, it could have probably started even earlier, but that's as far as the documents date back. Abortion has been an active practice in Egyptian medicine. Centuries later, abortion was a topic taken by feminism. It is a pretty heavy feminism-led group. Feminism gets a bad knack. Obviously, there's extremists on both sides, but we can talk about that later. So, the ideas of the legalization of abortion in the late 19th century were often opposed by feminists, seeing it as a means of relieving men of responsibility. So this is very interesting. So we're going to take a step back here. So the whole thing with abortion too is, yes, it does date back a really long time, and I'm sure people have been trying to knock babies out of their system. They see their stomach growing bigger. I'm sure animals even, or like, I'm sure way back they see something in their stomach growing, they're going to start hitting it or something, right? I'm sure practices of abortion, maybe not legal or correct ways of aborting, but I'm sure abortion has been here a really long time. Or like even accidental abortion, like you fall off, I don't know, you fall off a chair or something and, you know, you hit your stomach, right? So that's kind of the consensus there. So the legalization is very important. Because a lot of people say, and it is true, if you do, you know, ban abortion, people are going to find a way around it. It's just going to be a legal, dangerous abortion, right? That's the big thing. So, legalization of abortion, which I find really interesting, because right now the whole thing is making abortion legal and letting women do what they want. But back in the 19th century, if you remember, take yourself back to the 19th century, this is late 1800s. You take yourself back, and you're there. And you realize, oh my gosh, these men, if they make abortion illegal, they have to run away from this responsibility, and they just get away with everything. These men get away with everything. So that was the consensus. And if you remember, back in the 1800s, women couldn't even have jobs. Women had no jobs. Women barely got jobs until war times. We haven't had jobs for a very long time. And it's come a long way, obviously. But we haven't had jobs for a very, 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 very long time. So, that being said, and that being obviously a big deal, it has flipped a lot. Because nowadays, women can have jobs. Women can do what they want. They can be independent. They can do things for themselves. Then the opposite has flipped. So now, instead of not, you know, relieving men of responsibility, now it's like, you know what, we can choose what we want, and we're going to do what we want because we can afford it. Back in the day, they couldn't. So they were mad because they were like, you know what, men couldn't tell them, you need an abortion, or I'm going to kick you down the stairs. It's like, I don't know. And they would have. So, you know, this actually was a really big thing. And people were writing about the subject. And, you know, they were, instead of, so they were arguing in this article, like in this newspaper that was in the late 19th century, that instead of merely attempting to pass a law against abortion, the root cause also must be addressed, which I think is really interesting. So it seemed like women's voices were being heard through the proclamation of these unacknowledged subjects, right, and women. So the whole thing is like, where does it stem from? Well, rape, right? I guess maybe trigger warning. I don't know if I should say that. But rape is a huge one. And you know, especially back in the day, again, women had no control. Who knows how much happened to them? So I'm going to skip past the UK and all, honestly, the other big places that are named in this article, because truthfully, I only care about the US. The US is always usually similar to Canada. US is a big country. A lot of you guys probably are from the US or are most familiar with US politics. That's a big thing. So, in America, abortion reform movement emerged in the 1960s. So in 1964, Jerry Santorio of Connecticut died trying to obtain an illegal abortion, and her photo became the symbol of the abortion rights movement. So some women's rights activist groups developed their own skills to provide abortions to women who could not obtain them elsewhere. So an example in Chicago was a group known as, quote-unquote, Jane, operated a floating abortion clinic through much of the 1960s. The whole thing with this, right, is, like, you cannot stop people from getting abortions. You cannot stop people from doing these things. They are going to do it, and it's going to be, you know, a big thing, and it's going to happen no matter what. And I think this is really important to know, because even if this law does pass, you know, it's going to be big. and it's going to just happen. So, she died trying. Some women's rights, this floating abortion clinic. So they were trying to make it safe so women were not dying, but again, it was still illegal. So, they would find Jane. There would be like a little procedure, and they would find Jane, and it would be great. So in the late 1960s, a number of organizations were formed to mobilize opposition both against for the legalization of abortion. So, people were against it. And the forerunner of Neuro Pro-Choice America was formed in 1969 to oppose restrictions on abortion to expand access to abortion. Things were happening. They wanted to gain access. So, NARO became the National Abortion Rights Action League in 1973. So, this is where the big thing is. Obviously, it is legal now, but Roe vs. Wade, it's still happening. Roe vs. Wade is still happening. Why is it still happening, guys? You know what I mean? This was mentioned again, and it's happening. And it's so funny, I didn't even realize it dated back this early, but the next thing it's talking about is Roe vs. Wade, and let's just do a little brief. So, the landmark, I can't pronounce it, but ruling in the Supreme Court in Joe vs. Wade ruled that Texas statute forbidding abortion except when necessary to save the life of the mother was unconstitutional. So they're saying, unless you're about to die on the table, you can't get an abortion. Absolutely ridiculous. That is so wrong. You don't have to agree with abortions, you know what I mean? But you have to agree that it's something that should be legal. It's, again, your body, your choice. I think that it's, really important to note that. So, this ruling, Roe vs. Wade, dated back so long ago, is here again. And the court held that right to privacy existed and included the right to have an abortion. So, the court arrived at its decision by concluding that the issue of abortion rights follow under the right to privacy. So they said, no, this is fine for keeping abortion. And the court found that a mother had a right to abortion until viably, a point to be determined by the abortion doctor. So after viably, a woman can obtain an abortion for health reasons, which only could be to include psychological well-being as well. So it went really well. It was like, okay, great. They're letting us have abortion. They didn't rule against Roe vs. Wade. Obviously, we've seen that kind of shift a little bit here, but, it's going great. I want to see how long can you get an abortion? I want to see, not in Canada, I want to see in U.S. Because I think it's the same, though. So, informed consent laws were on the books by 2007. So, as of May 2019, the state prohibited abortions the fetus was viable. So between week 24 and 28. So, about half, a little over half, which is pretty long actually. But you have to remember too, people's stomachs usually don't grow until second trimester, or it doesn't grow that much. It depends on who you are. And as well, people might not realize they're pregnant for a pretty long time. It can take up to 3 months, but I think it's a pretty long time. 24 weeks is a really long time. But I guess it is viable. I know in Canada it's 3 months. But I don't know if that's correct. Abortion is legal through all 9 months. However, beyond 23 weeks. Okay, and 6 days. 23 weeks and 6 days. Very specific. I wonder if you went in on the... Okay, that's 6 months. That's pretty long. But, again, it's how it kind of goes. So, Roe vs. Wade. Yay! They didn't take it on. But from the 1970s, second wave of feminism, abortion, reproductive rights became issues. Groups in Canada as well, the U.S., Netherlands, etc. So, 2015! This is really recent. So, I'm recording this in 2022. Less than 10 years ago. The wake of the House of Representatives vote to defund Planned Parenthood, Lindy West, Amelia Bondow, and Kimberly Morrison lost Shout Your Abortion to remind supporters and critics alike abortion is legal to anyone who wants or needs it. So Planned Parenthood, I was always kind of confused about what Planned Parenthood is. It's a nonprofit organization that provides reproductive health care in the U.S. So it's just an organization for all of that. So this whole Show Your Abortion thing, I encourage women to share abortion experiences online using different hashtags to denounce the stigma surrounding abortion. So in 2019, the You Know Me movement, as a response to the successful 2019 passion of fetal heart rate bills in 5 states, etc., passing anti-abortion laws. So things went well. And now we're kind of going all the way back to the 19th century. So in mid-19th century, concerns around abortion only considered of the danger of a woman being poisoned and risking her health, not because of religion, ethics, or diplomacy. Ending a pregnancy before the fetus became movement or post-quickening was only a wrongdoing, not a crime. So it was more of a social construct, which I think is very interesting, because we look at these developments of many different things in the world. When things are only a social construct, we have to really reconsider what position we're taking and what we're doing. So the laws that were against abortions, post-quickening removals, as they called it, were put in place to protect the well-being of the women that were pregnant, not the fetal life. So it was not protecting the thing that wasn't alive, it was protecting the alive person, which I think is right. So it is more common for women to pass on during early terminations due to the usage of pre-owned instruments as opposed to national abortifacients, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Some women who engaged in quickening abortions were not prosecuted because there's no evidence to quickening, and it was hard to prove. So that was really great. You know, the rights in the mid-19th century are better than the ones that are becoming now, which is very unfortunate. Between the 1900 and 1965, there were not only anti-abortion movements or rallies because states had already passed a law. There were not any, sorry, passed a law banning abortions at all levels. Prescriptions of drugs are ongoing procedures. So the thing is, right, there's a thing where people have drugs that they need to take, and if they don't take it, they die. And they're saying, no, we won't take the fetus life out, we will let you die instead having this baby, which is so wrong. You should, let's be honest, be protecting the mother's life. Because if the mother's dead, who's going to take care of the baby? One. Okay, that's a great point. You can say the dad, but let's be honest, based off of who's trying to get these laws passed, these men, they only care about the baby being born and all the after effects. I think that's a big part of this topic as well. Because I find a lot of people with this argument say, well, you know, the thing is living, it needs to be born. Well, okay, what? Are we going to put it in the horrible adoption and in adoption facilities that we have and put them through foster care and make them live a horrendous life? Are we going to do that? Two, are we going to make women who maybe are not financially stable, maybe not mentally stable, maybe shouldn't have kids and damage their lives? Three, are we going to trust that the men, if there is a woman in their life like that, take the kids and hold responsibility? And four, are we going to put this child in a poor environment just for the sake of it being born? Or are we going to let natural processes happen and not let it be born? You know, these are important topics. And I think a lot of people in this movement who are against abortion really just want the baby to be born. I think that's their consensus. They want the kid to be born, and they don't really care, you know, if what happens later. And before we can affect what happens later, we need to make sure we shouldn't just ban abortion. We have no things that protect the baby, then. If we really want to protect the baby, then we shouldn't be doing all of that. So, in the 1960s, some states became requested changes against abortion laws, and experts kind of supported this advancement. They suggested that abortion laws should be exempt women that were... laws should exempt women that were sexually assaulted, whose babies weren't being questioned, and those babies were born out of this true, natural, or original state. So, they started being lenient, and it's so odd, because, you know, in the 19th century, all of this was legal. It was only a wrongdoing, and before that, too, all of this was only a wrongdoing, but it feels like we're almost going back in time with abortion laws, where back, I don't even know where back in time, I guess this is forward in time, since this never really happened, and we're going to a time where all of this was illegal, and, you know, it's so ridiculous, because it's like, you know, you know, 1900 was not that far ago, right? Like 100 years, 120 years was not that long ago. And that's like a lifetime in a bit. So, you know, it's like your grandparents and then your parents, right? My grandfather is in his 80s and my mother is in her 40s. So, you know, it's like two, like, a generation and a half. And, you know, that's not that far long ago at all. And people were thrown in jail. They were dying to have abortions. So silly. So silly. And in the 1800s, they weren't. I mean, a lot of them did die if they had abortions, but a lot of them did die if they were at time of the kid anyways. So there was a lot of dying of women anyways. So it wasn't even like it was just abortions. It was everything that was killing them. So, you know, things were happening a little bit. 1973, Roe v. Wade versus changing abortion laws altogether, making abortion legal. Yay! We can abort babies. And, you know, healthcare professionals jeopardize their a lot of medical professionals jeopardize their medical licenses, risk being put in prison and fined because they wanted to continue to provide abortions. That is a true medical professional, I have to say. If you are that passionate about helping people that you are going to risk your whole life and career for it, honestly, pat on the back to you. So, there were more than 1,000 abortion laws passed between 2011 and 2019, which I'm not going to talk about, obviously, that limited access to abortion procedures. Some of these prevented a woman from getting an abortion past a certain age, which we can kind of see right now, specific pregnancy conditions, which we also see. A lot of these do make sense, though. I agree with some of these. Other laws established that ban particular abortion methods. So, targeted regulation of abortion providers or TRAP was put in place to target abortion clinics by demanding unnecessary requirements that made it hard for women to get an abortion. So, anti-abortion rights claim that these requirements are for the safety of the mother and child, but that has not been proven at all by science at all. So, TRAP has placed limitations on abortion facilities to make it more difficult to provide services. And these policies were put in place by 26 states of 2020, which you can already see the movement from that TRAP. During the pandemic, numerous states prohibited non-essential medical procedures, including abortion services, which was really scary because people were all home and probably scary things were happening. Policymakers in 12 states saw this as a chance to certify abortion as an essential, therefore ending services. No, we're not going to go to Roe versus Wade and talk about this whole mess. So, okay. What has happened? And, so what has happened with Roe versus Wade, there's a draft. So, this is quite alarming. And it's a little scary. So, Roe versus Wade, we talked about it already. It made abortion legal in the states. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And all these people, you know, were super, super big in this case. It became a big thing. And it really, truly was great, right? The case went great in the 1960s, as I mentioned. There was discussions and all of this. So, what has been happening now is what is the scary part? And, it's, you know, a lot of things are talking about Canada, since I live in Canada, so I have a lot of news about that in particular. And, you know, this whole thing is really getting out of hand in a lot of ways. So a lot of Canada's talking about how they'd help abortion, which is so funny. It is scary. You know, that we have to help. So obviously I'm in Canada, so I get a lot of Canada news. I just saw an article about James Webb. I totally forgot to talk about this. I talked about James Webb all the way back on the second episode of the podcast, and they have sent back photos of our galaxy. It's so cool. It's so exciting. Maybe I'll talk about that later. Maybe I should interrupt this important discussion. So, okay. What has happened? We're going to do this. I don't even know what article to do anymore. Sure. We're going to do this Politico article. So, there has been a draft. Lots of people are going in the streets. A lot of people are saying, saying ban off abortion. or yes, abortion, no abortion, yay, no, we hate it, we love it, the world is super divided over stupid things that should just be normal. Okay, so the Supreme Court has voted to strike down the landmark Roe vs. Wade decision, according to initial draft majority opinion written by one of the justices. So I want to look at this draft opinion and kind of sift through it. I don't know if it's really long. Oh god, it's 98 pages, guys. I really hope you don't expect me to read 98 pages for the podcast. I don't think I read 98 pages in a week. So, So at the time of Roe vs. Wade, 30 states have prohibited abortion at all stages. I'm trying to sift through this. I don't want to read all of it. Basically, there's been a majority ruling. So they say the rule that Roe vs. Casey must be overruled because they should make no reference to abortion and no such right. Okay, I'm quoting this exactly from it. This is on page 5. I'm going to link it as well. Says, and these certain sections are highlighted by this article, so it really helps. We hold that Roe vs. Casey must be overruled. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by constitutional provision, including the one which defends Roe vs. Casey, now chiefly rely, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That provision has been held to guarantee some rights and are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any rights such must deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition and implicate in concept of ordered liberty, Washington for Glitzingberg, and I reference some stuff. So, the thing that angers me is, like, it doesn't pop up in the Constitution. Well, the Constitution was made so long ago that they probably didn't even give a crap about abortion, okay? It probably wasn't even a thing they even knew. They couldn't even understand what it was. I mean, obviously, I'm being dramatic here. But, I mean, we know in the 18th century, it wasn't even illegal. It's just a wrongdoing. So why would they even mention abortion as a right? Like, they barely even talked about it. It wasn't even really a thing, like, that they probably even knew happened. I'm sure, because it was all men, obviously, leading. And that's what makes me so mad. This is a women's right. This is not anybody else's decision but women. And, you know, men, they ruled everything, obviously, for a very long time. And obviously, still, with the Supreme Court, there's a lot of men there. A majority of people leading the world are men. It's getting better, but, you know, we're still in that predicament. But the whole thing, you know, here, specifically, is that if you're referencing the Constitution, it's ridiculous. Because, you know, why are we looking towards the Constitution for rights that didn't even exist back then? Why is our end-all be-all this Constitution that truly didn't even have everything that we need? It says a right for every person, but people were arguing that slavery should be legal. Like, it's recently, too, like, recent enough where it's important to talk about. So, you know, why should we trust this Constitution that doesn't have details? You know, that these rights, they were doing things in their benefit. And I'm sure abortion wasn't even a thing people talked about. I'm sure women hid it. So, you know, these men wouldn't have power over them and they could hide and they could, you know, not be stuck with this man, or they wouldn't have a kid. You know, these things just happen. And, you know, it was just a wrongdoing. So they didn't mention it, and it was a women's issue. You know, it truly is. All it is a women's issue. And that is really it. So anyways, this is with the Constitution. That's what they're saying. So, another quote. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was implicitly weak, and the decision has damaging consequences. And far from bringing about a national settlement of abortion issue, Roe and Casey have exemplified a debate and deepened division. That is the quote. As well, it says it's time to heed the Constitution, returning the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. So, the permissibility of abortion and the limitations upon it are to be revoked like most important questions in a democracy by citizens trying to persuade one another and then voting. End quote. That is what the Constitution and the rule of law demand. So, another thing is they're like, oh, you know, it's a weak argument. Why is it a weak argument? Just because it doesn't go with your religion or any of these other things, right? Abortion was never a religious issue until recently. And people are making it way more of an issue here than it really ever was. And it's something that, you know, it does anger me, especially as a woman, to know that my body could be looked at and said, you know what? You don't deserve to decide what you want to do with your own body I just want, I want it for me, for my own benefit. And again, they're saying this whole thing, it's not rooted in nations, history, and traditions. It's so weird. And it says, criminal punishment persisted from the earliest days of the common law until 1973. Yeah, but before it wasn't even a law. Like, if you look at the history, it wasn't even a law until 1900 when men were trying to have even more control over women, and feminism was finally kicking in, and women were like, hey, give us our rights, and they were like, no, 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 and we finally got our rights, and now you're trying to rip that away from us again? After 50 years, now you're like, oh, this is such a big issue? Why don't we tackle bigger issues? Issues that are going to kill us all, not just fetuses, that's going to kill our whole nation. Kill democracy itself. Why don't we look at more issues, bigger issues, like, I don't know, COVID that just happened in our economy? Why are we wasting our time on Roe versus Wade? That should be a law. That's why it passed in 1973. As well, why should we look at issues with our environment, like climate change? That's a huge pressing issue on our well-being as a nation. So we need to look at things that are actually important and not these stupid things that people think they have a right to talk about. And I, you know, obviously you can tell in the, you know, conviction of my voice, it is an angering thing. Because again, as a woman, it's like, why would my rights be taken away for all of this? So, you know, they're saying there's competing interests in here. You know, it says, Roe and Casey each struck a particular balance between the interests of a woman who wants an abortion and the interests of what they deemed, quote-unquote, potential life. Roe, 410 U.S. at 150. Casey, 505 U.S. at 852. But the people of various states may evaluate those interests differently. In some states, voters may believe that abortion rights should be more, even more extensive than the right that Roe and Casey exempted. Voters in other states may want to propose tight restrictions based on their belief that abortion destroys an unborn human being. And they said, our nation's historical understanding of orphan liberty does not prevent people from electing representatives from deciding on how abortion should be regulated. Okay, again, the thing is, it's like, okay, you are stating, you're clearly stating that a lot of people want abortion. So why, okay, why don't you just say, if you don't want an abortion, don't get one. We're in a global, and the other thing too, and this might be a weird argument, but to me it seems like a valid argument. Our population is so high. We're almost at 8 billion people on the earth. Do we really need more people? Let's be honest. Do we really need more people? And do we need more people who are in poverty and impoverished and going to lead a horrible life? No, we don't. Right? Like, it's so ridiculous. We have enough people as it is. It's so angering because a lot of these arguments are so invalid. It's just, if you don't want an abortion, don't get one. That's all the argument should be. That's all it should be. You know, and they're saying some other stuff in here that there's so many pages, but these are highlighted segments that I'm reading, by the way. So, you know, again, they're saying there's a bunch of decisions and about this. And they're saying, again, the history and tradition, which I think is so weird. And they're saying, oh, okay, Roe was a collision course of the Constitution from the day it was decided, and Casey perpetuated its errors. And the errors do not concern some arcane corner of law with little importance to the American people, rather wielding nothing but raw jurisdictional power. Again, they're talking about Roe and all this. Of course, suppressed the power to address a question of profound moral and social importance, and the Constitution unequivocally leaves for the people. Casey describes himself calling both sides of the national controversy to resolve their debate. In doing so, Casey unnecessarily declared a winning side. The thing is if there is two sides of the argument, make it legal and then don't get an abortion. What is so hard to believe about that? I don't understand. Why are we going back to the mid-1900s where before, again, it was only a wrongdoing? I think it's so funny how people didn't even care about abortion until recently, and they're, it really is a power dynamic with the men. They're this power to, you know, change. Because the other thing, too, is women, when they have kids, jobs will let them go. They don't even have to explain. If their job is not unionized, they do not need to explain why they are firing them. So their job might say, hey, you know what? You're pregnant. Bye. Oh, look at you. And it's so funny, too, because in the States, mat leave is only 6 weeks. While in Canada here, if you don't know, it's a year. Get full pay, and then you can go up to 18 months, and you just stretch that year's pay to the 18 months. My mom, who recently had a kid, she went to 18 months. She got paid a full year in those 18 months. And it was wonderful for her. And when she was with me, because she was in the States with me way back when, 16 years ago, she only got 6 weeks. You know, how do you expect people after 6 weeks to have someone to watch their kid, to manage this? And, you know, it really is ridiculous. So it's like, you're telling women to have kids and you're telling them to have babies, but then you only give them 6 weeks and then you get rid of their job. It makes no sense why abortion shouldn't be illegal. I mean, should be illegal. Because there's not safety nets for it. Make it legal and then put safety nets for women. Even put safety nets for women to get back into shape. Things like that. It ruins women's lives. It changes their body. It changes their hormone structure. It changes their lives. Having kids. And especially with a rapist. With someone who is hurting them. An abuser. An abuser can use power. Think about it this way. Think about another scenario. An abuser. Let's say if it was their own father. Their own father. Horrible scenario. Let's say their own father raped them, sexually abused them. They have a kid. A kid of incest. How disgusting. This abuser has power over them now. That is what they're allowing here. They're saying, no abortion. We're allowing you to be under your abuser. Like, that is what is happening. I'm going to link the article. There's 98 pages. I skimmed through most. But it really is, you know, it's been a big deal. And no draft decision in modern history of the court has been disclosed publicly while case was still pending. That is huge. Because obviously people are freaking out about this. And I think they put it out there because they know it's a really divided issue. And a lot of people want this to not turn out. Obviously this unprecedented revelation is bound to intensify debate over what is most obviously controversial. So obviously it's been really big. Person familiar with court deliberations, and that the four other Republican appointed justices, all these people that I'm not going to name, had voted with Alito in the conference among justices again. So, obviously, three Democratic appointed justices as well. And obviously, who will ultimately vote is unclear. So, after it was published, Roberts confirmed the authenticity of the draft opinion, and that he was ordering an investigation into the disclosure. So, Roberts was saying that, and stressed that the draft opinion does not represent a decision by the court or final position of any member on the issues of the case. The court has declined comment pre-publication, because obviously it hasn't been even finished yet. But seeing an insight into this is really scary, because we can see that it really is becoming real, and this can be very, very real. So before the episodes end, I want to quickly talk about, I want to talk about Canada, because Canada is becoming a big deal. I'm having hiccups, I'm sorry if you can hear that. Canada has been really big in this, and I want to talk about it. This article that I'm linking the whole draft opinion is the one I opened it up for some reason on another site. It's linked in it. You'll find it. Okay. So, Canada and Mexico, the whole other big news headline, this is from The Guardian. Canada and Mexico prepare to accept Americans seeking abortions. So, in the years before Canada's Supreme Court legalization, when they legalized abortion in 1988. So we were actually a lot later than the States. We were 15 years later, which is honestly quite concerning. But ours is still legal, which is good. Theirs is illegal, but a little bit different. It was common for Canadians who needed abortions to travel to the U.S. So we had a little network of people that would get them there. And it was legal. But if the draft decision indicates the U.S. Supreme Court votes to overturn Roe v. Wade, many Americans in need of surgical abortion could be traveled not just across state lines, but once again across international borders, of course, to Canada and to Mexico. This is really big because they helped us, and maybe we will help them, which I think is really interesting. So on Tuesday, Canada's Minister of Families reaffirmed that Americans can access abortion services in Canada. If they, people, come here and need access, certainly, you know, that's service that would be provided, which is amazing. An estimated 26 states are likely to ban abortion if Roe v. Wade is overturned. So, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So even if Roe v. Wade is a no-go, the states can make their own decisions. So 26, a little over half of the states, are probably going to ban it, which is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. So they may have to, people may cross state lines, and they may have to cross country lines. So one of that includes Michigan, which is very scary. That is very close, actually, to where my grandparents live. I live in Ontario, for reference, which is the province, like, right by Michigan, and my grandparents live quite close to Michigan. So, you know, it sits across the water from Southern Ontario. Of course, lots of abortion clinics, so at least they can, you know, they can easily pop over the border, but if they're in, like, Texas, they can't, right? Michigan has a 1931 ban that could automatically kick in when Roe v. Wade ends. So they can also travel to Illinois and Pennsylvania, as those states are unlikely to outlaw the procedure, according to some data. Those traveling internationally won't find it free. People without immigration status in Canada are charged about $500 or $388, which is a little cheaper, which is nice for them, for surgical abortion, but Americans do not need health card to access clinics in Canada. Wait times vary, 1 or 2 weeks in Ontario to several weeks or months in the Atlantic provinces. So you know what? I really have to say Canada is doing a really good job, and they are protecting our southern friends. I guess they're technically southern to us. And you know, it is a scary thing. So if these things do happen, they are opening it. Of course it will cost money because they aren't Canadian, but hey, at least there's a legal abortion option where people aren't gonna hurt themselves. So it'll probably be only possible for those who can afford it again. So abortion activists in the U.S. has underscored that after Roe v. Wade falls, it'll be wealthier white women who have the means, obviously, and lower income people won't, and, you know, socioeconomic barriers being, you know, obviously, transgender, African-American, Latino, indigenous may struggle more, but at least there's options. There's options. The cheapest option, early pregnancy, would probably continue to be abortion pills, either through mail or via health teleservices, so that could work too. Do some pill popping, I guess. But after working for more than 10 years at clinics in Ireland while abortion was illegal, Doherty says there is no doubt that people will cross borders. People are going to cross borders. That's the whole thing, right? Because they're trying to ban all of this. But people are literally going to cross borders. It's so laughable because they think they can just ban abortion outright, but they aren't going to be able to. What is going to happen, and I guess I'm just going to wrap it up now, the episode. What is going to happen, if this gets overturned, a lot of states are going to ban it. But if they ban it, people are going to cross state lines. They're going to cross country lines. And they are going to find a way. And if abortion becomes illegal over the whole thing, if it fully becomes illegal, it is going to be hell, obviously. But people are going to go, you know, to different countries. And I guess Canada and Mexico will be those options. There's going to be a roundabout. People are going to do illegal abortions, which is so funny to say. It's sad, but it's weird to say that abortion could be illegal. And it's just going to happen. So all in all, obviously you can probably see my stance to this. I don't think abortion should be legal. You don't have to be pro-abortion to be pro-choice. You probably aren't. A lot of people aren't. All you have to do is say, you know what? Your body, your choice. If you want to have an abortion, have one. People who have abortion don't want one. It's not an easy thing to do. Don't diminish the need for it. And it's scary that 26 states would probably have it banned any which way. But I guess that's what's happened. So anyways, keep up with the news. Stay safe out there. If you're in the States and you're might need an abortion one day, cross Canada, cross to Mexico. We're here for you guys. And hopefully this does not get ruled, does not go through, because this is absolutely terrifying. Anyways, everybody, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Quickly, please connect to find out about more episodes. The Instagram is ever.changingworld. Again, ever.changingworld. Twitter is everchangingwor. Again, everchangingwor. It's also Cambridge_bound. Again, Cambridge, like the university, _bound. That one I use more. Website is shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Again, shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please tune in next week and follow to stay updated. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Go see next week's episode. Go see all the other week's episodes. They're all great. Thank you so much, and good. the world is always changing.